Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival, from the Giornata degli Autori. I'm Angelo Acerbi, and I'm very glad to have here P. David Ebersole and Todd Hughes from the film House of Cardin, which I enjoyed and ate up like a madman. It was really fun. It was entertaining, and it was eye-opening because there was a lot of stuff that I didn't know about him.
Oh, good.
Did you know he was Italian?
Yes, that I did. That I know, but it was the only thing that I knew, actually. Well, the only thing. I knew a lot about him, the public persona, about the private and the history of his life, and the cleverness as a businessman, mm-hmm. was fantastic to know about. I wanted to ask you, how did you start this project? What was the spark of that ignited the project?
We consider ourselves Cardanophiles, so we collect his furniture. We've been fans of his design. We live in Palm Springs, California, and so mm-hmm. there's a lot of modernism that you know, that is embraced there. And so I needed a circular coffee table for my circular couch, and I found this beautiful coffee table that turned out to be a Pierre Cardin design. And from that, we always call it the coffee table that started it all. From that coffee table, we began to get more interested in what he did. And we eventually found and bought the car that he designed in 1972, the car that's in the movie.
It's your car.
Yeah. So, and so when we came to Paris one time, we were looking for Les Disques Pierre Cardin, because we've collected all the records that were under the record label that he did, and we happened to walk by the Pierre Cardin Museum and next door Evolution, the store Evolution. We went in because, of course, it's, you know, we were just shocked that such
you
a thing existed, right?
Yeah.
And the man who ran the shop, we were showing him all the photos to show him what Pierre Cardin fans we were, and he said, "Oh, you should meet Mr. Cardin. He loves to meet people like you who enjoy all the different kinds of things that he did." And we were like, "There's a Mr. Cardin?" Like, we have no idea.
Never ever even thought.
Really?
No, because why would you? We grew up with his cologne in America, right? Mm-hmm. It was a name. I had his skis when I was a little kid. I remember wanting his skis because they were better looking. And my parents said, "No, you're just paying more money for the way they look." And I was like, "Exactly." But I remember wearing his cologne, right? It made you feel so adult, and it was French. But so it was like a mythical name. It's like, you know, Kleenex.
It was just a brand for you. It was not a person.
It was a brand. And then there is Pierre Cardin. How old is he? Was the next question. And when we met him, he was 95 years old. So that doesn't give you a lot of time. And as we know with documentaries, they can take years. So it was really, we met him exactly 2 years ago yesterday.
Oh, God.
On Facebook, it came up. 2 years ago today, we were in Paris meeting Pierre Cardin.
So you told him that you wanted to make a movie, or the movie just came up?
It happened sort of more organically than that, which is that we went to his store on the advice of the man who ran the shop Evolution to just try to meet him. And we went in on a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. because that's what he said. He likes to go through his store and make sure that everything is to his liking. And we thought, wow, he still works. He said, "Oh, yes, absolutely. Every day he goes to his store." And so we got ourselves dressed up so we would look cool and walked through the shop, and we met that, you know, glamorous woman, Maurice Gaspard, mm-hmm. Who is the director of his haute couture. And then she brought Rodrigo down to meet us. We were documentary filmmakers in Paris. Our latest film was playing at La Tronche Film Festival. And so they were just, you know, fascinated that we were so fascinated, and just each person wanted to talk to us. And so Rodrigo said, "Well, you know, if my uncle is available, and if you're free," as if we're not going to drop everything to meet Pierre Cardin,
yeah.
"if you're free, you know, I'll text you, and maybe, you know, you could come over." All we wanted really was to, like, shake his hand, tell him how much he inspires us, and get a picture for Facebook to impress our friends. And before we knew it, we were sitting down to lunch, and he was
talking about a documentary,
agreeing to do a documentary. And he went through all our photos again. He went through our photos. He stopped on the car and he looked at it. There are only 4,000 that were ever made. There's only 1,000 left on the road. And so he said, "Do you drive it?" And we said, "Oh yeah, we drive it. We own it. We drive it around town." And he looked up, he looked at Todd, he looked at me, and he said, "Okay, what do you want to do, and when do you want to start?" And so
which said, actually is a how it is, because in the film you show that it's really like a machine running continuously.
He's clairvoyant.
And as you know, the incredible story that Jean-Paul Gaultier tells of being 17, and he submits his drawings because he's his favorite designer, and Pierre Cardin meets him and says, okay, you're hired.
Yeah.
Philippe Starck, at 17 years old, said he's the only modern man out there who can do this kind of furniture. He meets Pierre Cardin, who says, okay, you're hired, go upstairs.
And start the furniture department.
I just wanted to ask you, and then once you said, once he told you, okay, we're going to make the film together, now you have to go through like million pages of material, photos and stuff. How did you manage to choose and create a narrative?
Well, one of the best compliments that Mr. Cardin has given us is that he said, you got my 97 years into a 97-minute film. And it's all true. And so it was daunting only because there is so much material. And the first three-hour cut, we bored our preview audiences with. People were overwhelmed with how much material there was. They were like, it's too much. It's as if, you know, there's too many things that he's done. And so we began to just sort of shape and start finding.
By the way, we don't speak French.
Right. Yeah. So and we're also.
You do speak English, though.
Oh, no.
Oh, no?
No. So everything had to be subtitled. We went through hours of archival with a simultaneous interpreter. And you know, it was an extra layer of challenge.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
And then of course we weren't content to just make a film in French. It's also in Chinese, Japanese, Italian, and English.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, when a personality like this is told, he is like a word figure, not just a word person, not a French man only.
Exactly. So, yeah, truly he's international.
International. And actually he did astonishing things like the Chinese World Fashion Show, for example, or all the businesses he started. Did you talk with him about this kind of bulimia to open, to do something new every once in a while? Because he had the record company, he bought Maxim's, he had like design furniture and then cutlery warehouse things, I mean, whatever. So it was all over the place.
Once he's done something, he's done it. So he wants to do something else. And it's really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves clothes. The fashion is the rag trade, as he calls it, is his bread and butter. And he just designed a new line at 97 years old. He debuted at the Palais Boulle in May. New design. It was amazing.
Yeah, you could have never finished this film if it was for him. You could have been shooting forever.
It's not a ticking clock in that we were worried that we would lose Mr. Cardin. But there is a certain point when someone just gets too tired and just doesn't want to keep participating. So it was a driving force just to get done, to be able to make a premiere that he could attend, and to be making a film about this living legend, not have it be some sort of posthumous kind of remark on what this man did in the past and in his life. He's here, he's now, and he still goes to work every day. He still works every day. He is still has visions for the future and things that he wants to do. And because the film is so much about that kind of visionary, we wanted him here.
Yeah.
So it made us work and work fast.
Well, he says in the film, which is, I think you ask him, which is your secret of being that lively at your age? Work every day.
Work and stay happy.
Yeah. Probably because he has such a complicated childhood that he wanted to have his life.
There are philosophies about it that it's like maybe because of a quote-unquote unhappy childhood or a difficult life.
Difficult.
Of coming up. I think there's some truth to that, especially in that when you look at a lot of the other couturiers, they come from money and they come from a world
privilege.
Of money and privilege, and that he was looking to change the world through fashion and be so inclusive comes from being a man who didn't come from that.
And was self-educated too.
Probably
this was the reason why he hired these young kids out of
why wouldn't you believe that they could do it if he believes that he himself can do it?
Exactly.
And similarly, there's always this great philosophy under the choices that he's made. So when you think about the concept of prêt-à-porter, and okay, maybe that makes you make more money because you're selling to more people, but he believed that fashion should be something that anybody could enjoy. Why is it only for the white rich woman?
Well, this is why, I mean, it was the first of creating prêt-à-porter. It was thrown out from the chambre did you ever watch other documentaries about other fashion designers in order not to be inspired, maybe to know what you didn't want to do?
We watched them all. also, because we're fans, right? We love fashion. And there's been such a proliferation of great fashion documentaries. I don't think we watched them to make sure, because this thing had a life of its own. Mm. And you do want to see how other people tell a story. And I think there were factions that wanted us to sort of fit it into more of a, like a drama or a, you know, have more controversy or tension. And it kind of wrote itself in. There was so much story to tell. And if you just let Pierre tell it, it's beautiful. And it makes sense, and it's authentic. We have 70 years of technology, right? We have newsreels from 1922, and then we have 4K from 2019. Mm-hmm. And Pierre Cardin, even though he's physically changing, what he's saying is the same. Throughout that 70-year period, he's just stayed true to himself and his vision and his simple way of living. And look at him.
Look at him, exactly. Yeah. My last question is about his comment on the film. What did he say when he watched it?
Rodrigo, who is his nephew, who's in the film as well. The first thing, Pierre watched it in Paris without us first. And we got a text that said, my uncle loved it. And the thing that I said before, that he said, he says you got his entire life into the 97 minutes. And that it's all true. But today he said a couple of things, because he had never really seen it big with an audience, and to have that kind of
reaction.
Oh, he was
so nice. And he said it was really thoughtful, that we really put a lot of thought into it, which was really a great compliment. And that we, you know, got everything right, which, you know, if you make daddy angry, it can be very ugly. And there have been other biographies written about him that at the last minute he's rejected because, you know, they make him mad by saying something. And we're going into his personal life and kind of speculating on how it, not speculating, but we're presenting a story he has never presented himself, so that we got Jean Moreau
to his work, and,
you know, and we're not outing him, but we're the first time talking about is the love of his life, André Oliver.
Yeah.
You know, that was...
That we got that word back, it's all true, made us go, ah, okay, so he's comfortable with it. They asked him today in a press conference if there were any surprises in the film, and he's always so funny, but he was like, well, it's my life, no, nothing is surprising.
I knew everything, come on.
So, you know, so that he was not shocked by anything that of how we portrayed it. He did say that there were things in it that he had sort of forgotten. You know, that so to see it again was
well, which
great
is understandable.
Memories.
97,
he's done a lot.
Such a life, it's very
easy to
forget something.
He's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met, and the details he does remember, staggering. Wow. He did the costumes for Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, which
he opened the house of Dior. I mean,
yeah, it was actually putting all those achievements one after the other is really astounding. I mean, if you make a list. Or what the thing he did, and with whom he did it.
Yeah.
It was even more shocking.
Sounds like you might like to see the 3-hour version.
Well, if you can send me a link, I would more than like.
If you can stay awake.
Oh yeah. But, you know, I didn't. I watched this 97 minutes version like this. I didn't blink. No, it was really good. I want to ask you, I know that the film is going to be released in Italy through I Wonder Pictures and Sky Arte on March next year. So we thank both. It will be on TV on Sky Arte, but before it was as a theatrical release. But I wonder, what is next in other countries? Do you have film already being sold?
It's been sold to several territories. So we've sold to 7-8 different territories worldwide. The U.S. deal is not in place yet, so that's part of what we're working on right now. This is world premiere. This is the first time the film has been seen outside of our living room. So
hundreds of times, at least.
Yes, exactly.
And what about Japan?
And Japan is sold, yeah. So it'll come out their new selects in Japan.
But we're a lot like Pierre in that we love internationalism, and it's unbelievable that we're going to have a theatrical release in Italy, Russia, China, Japan, countries that you've never thought you'd have a movie in, let alone in the movie theater.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
This gives you the level of respect that the man has around the world. Mm. And it's actually a huge persona and a huge brand, but more than a brand, personality that needs
to be known for our excellent casting.
Well, you didn't make a huge effort this time. You know, it was not very difficult for you to cast the right man.
Yes. Well, and then we got him some good leading ladies, Sharon Stone and Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell, by the way, Naomi Campbell with that dress.
Fantastic.
Right. She's so gorgeous. You know, she walked in. She's the only person that we really had to have an entourage for. It was during Fashion Week, and so she travels with that entourage. So she's hair, makeup, two stylists, and a security guard. But this gorgeous woman walks up the street to come into the interview, goes into the room for hair and makeup, and comes out looking equally gorgeous as when she just walked in. And we're like, what are they all there for?
She's like
the most natural, gorgeous woman I've ever seen life. We still watch, I mean, you and I, when we watch the film, every time Naomi shows up on screen, I go, oh my God, she's so beautiful.
No, she is. She is.
She's
and breathtaking. She doesn't change. She's always the same. She has like a Dorian Gray, probably.
She's got a portrait
painting.
In the closet, right?
Yeah,
she had a stylist to put that dress on her. So she walks in, she puts the dress on, he said it goes floop, and it goes on her, and it's perfect. So, and he said, well, that's like everything with Naomi. We're like, what's your job then? What do you do?
The dream job. That one is a dream job.
He said it's the only model
being
he knows.
Paid to do nothing for
like
a gorgeous woman.
Oh, and not just a few dollars.
I know.
That was an expensive interview.
Well, thank you very much to P. David Ebersole and Todd Hughes for our wonderful chat about House of Cardin. I suggest everybody of our listeners to go see the film, watch the film whenever you can, because it's really a little gem.
And we do have a Facebook page if you want to follow us.
Okay. Yeah.
House of
Cardin on Facebook. Thank you very much again. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.